Psalm 64, verse 1. This whole psalm seems to be about David on the run from Absalom, when Absalom, his son, rises up against him and tries to kill him and take power. He says, "Hear my voice, God, in my complaint," or "in my prayer." What does that mean? Hear my voice in my prayer, in my complaint, in my prayer. It's as if he's saying that there is prayer and there is the true voice within that prayer. You read something very similar in James 5, verse 17, in the Greek at least, where we read that Elijah prayed in his prayer. The idea, I think, is he prayed within his prayer. So there is a form of words that we use in prayer, the outward form, that covers over the real groaning of spirit, which is counted by God as real prayer. Now, all forms of spirituality have got a sort of a fake appearance and yet the real thing. For example, faith. You can appear to have faith. You can appear to believe, but then we read of faith unfeigned. There is a feigned faith, a faith that is an appearance, and there is the real faith. There is love, an appearance of love, when it's not love at all. And there is the true love. There is an appearance of forgiveness. Ah, yeah, it's okay, I forgive him. And yet you clearly don't. And it's the same with prayer. There is prayer, as in the outward form of words. And yet there is the real prayer, which is within that prayer. So hear my voice, God, in my prayer. Elijah, as I say, prayed in or within his prayer. And that's why I think the Lord warns us against multiplying words in prayer. He's not saying, well, you know, don't bother praying for too long at a time. But he warns against multiplying words in prayer because he sees the possibility of just having this outward appearance of prayer, the shell, as it were, and getting so caught up with the shell that we pay no attention to the actual essence of it. Don't forget, the Lord says that if you have faith in prayer, it's like a grain of mustard seed which can move a mountain. I think he's saying a little bit of the real thing can do wonders. And I think some people can verbalize better than others. It is as simple as that. But that doesn't mean that those who can't verbalize are not very good at praying. Not at all. What it means is that that's all just the external stuff. That's the shell. God is looking at your prayer within your prayer. And that's why often in the Psalms you see that David's complaint, his feelings, his tears are counted by God as a prayer. Even somebody's situation is counted as a prayer. You see that in the comment that's made on Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah, that sort of God heard them, but they weren't actually praying to him. But I think he saw their situation, read their feelings, and responded at times by giving them fertility. And therefore, you shouldn't be fazed if you think, oh, I'm not very good at praying. People say to me, I don't know what to say. You know, I pray to God, but what do you say? Well, yeah, when you look at David's prayers, they're very much just a telling of God how he feels, rather than making specific requests. And a lot of what he says, I think, is not particularly eloquently phrased, in that he is very often pouring out very raw emotion before God, a lot of it actually inappropriate in some ways. But that was how he understood prayer, that there's no point trying to pretend to God that you're something other than what you are. You give of yourself to him. You pour out your soul before him, as he says. That is prayer. Pouring yourself out, telling him how it is, how it feels, etc. And as I say, it's not a case of being able to nicely verbalize things. We live in an age where nice speak is paramount. You can pretty well declare war on another nation, and that's quite okay, so long as you sort of write the letter of declaration nicely, kind of thing. And that's all nonsense as far as God is concerned, because he looks at the heart, he looks at the essence.